Here we go. Okay. Welcome back to Shmuel Beis. We are learning Perek Tesvav. And the first half or so of this Perek that we did last week. So if you remember, we discussed Avshalom basically getting himself all ready for his rebellion. He was being a politician and making friends with everyone and getting himself into place, into posture, to become to become the next king and to rebel against David. And we found at the very end of last week, we read in Pasuk, we read in Pasuk Yudalid that David said, we got to get out. You know, they heard Pasuk Yud Gimel already, the Magid, one of the spies told David that Leiv Ish Yisrael Acharei Avshalom, people are in love with him, people are following him. David said in Pasuk Yud Dalet, Kumu V'Nivracha, let's get out of here, because if we wait around too long, we're going to get stuck, and we're going to have a problem. And he left, and David leaves, and that's Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayetze HaMelech V'Chol Ha'am Baraglov. Vayamdu Beis Hamerchok, they stayed very far away from the city. And everyone is coming, and we talked about last week at the very end that we have 600 Gitim. The Radak had said some of them were, some thought that they were Jews who just lived in Gass, but others thought that they were actually Gitim, actually non-Jews, Goyim from Gass. And we'll learn about Itai Agiti this week. And we have the Krasi, the Plasi. Some say they were families. Some say the Drash, the Medrash says that they were the Urim V'Tumim. We'll talk a little bit more about the Urim V'Tumim this week. And these are the people that are with David, David's supporters. Okay, so that brings us to Pasuk Yutes, which is where we pick up this week. Vayomer HaMelech El Itai Hagiti. So David says to Itai Hagiti. Itai is a fellow. He's from Gass. That's why he's called Hagiti. He's not Jewish, but he's a supporter of David, and he's with David. And David turns to him, and he says to him, Lama Selech Gam Ata Itanu. Why are you also coming with us? Shuv. He says, go back to Yerushalayim, v'shev im HaMelech, and go back with Avshalom. And it's interesting that here he refers to David, refers to Avshalom as the Melech, right? Rashi, many of the Mefarshim Rashi, the Radak here say, that it's referring to Avshalom, either because David recognized that people wanted to be Mamlich Avshalom right now as the king. Maybe that's why he called him HaMelech. But either way, he refers to him as HaMelech. Ki nochri ata, you're not Jewish. Vigam gola ata lim komecha, you can also go home. You don't have to go to Yerushalayim. You can also go home, go back to your place, go back to Gass. That's where he was from, Yagiti. So you can go back home. Rashi says, that he was basically telling him, listen, you're not Jewish. And right, the Pasuk says, Ki nochriata, you're not Jewish. We're on the run. Right? We don't have provisions with us. So what are we going to do? We're going to go from Jewish city to Jewish city, and we're going to hope that people take care of us. If you're not Jewish, you're going to be at a disadvantage. We're going to be going to Jewish cities. So you're going to be at a disadvantage. You're not going to be going to the cities of your brothers. So that's another reason why, or that's one reason why you shouldn't go with us. The Metzudas David says also, you're a Nachri, which means you're not one of my servants. You're not a Jew. You're not one of my servants. If you're one of my servants, so you have one to be afraid of Avshalom. You know, you don't want Avshalom to know that you're one of David's servants. But you're not one of my servants. You have no reason to be afraid. So why are you with me? Why are you hanging out with us? The Malbim says, and if you're afraid of Avshalom, maybe that's why you're coming to me, because you're afraid of Avshalom. So either you can go back to Yerushalayim and hang out with him because you're not Jewish. So he's not gonna want anything of you. He's not gonna want to kill you. Secondly, you can go home to Gass. And if you go back to Gass, you'll be fine. Right? Avshalom wasn't attacking the non-Jews in Gass. So you have nothing to worry about. So basically he was telling him that, listen, you're not Jewish, you're at a disadvantage, there's no reason for you to come with us. Go back. Go back to Yerushalayim, go back to your place, go back to Gass, and you'll be fine. Pasuk Chaf, So he said also, you know, I'm on the run. Vani holech ala shirani holech. Shuv. He says, I'm running around. I'm going here, I'm going there. David says, I'm not settling in one place. Shuv v'hashev esachecha imach. You should go back. You should take your brothers back with you, right? Which the Radak says refers to the 600 Gitim that were there, again, according to the approach that the Gitim were non-Jews. You know, take them back with you. It's very kind of you. It's very nice of you, of all of you that you want to support me, but I don't need it. I don't need you with me. I don't need your support. Chesed ve'emes, and it will be a chesed. It will be a kindness for them. You know, if you take them back. Some say, some of Farshim say that the chesed ve'emes is that I will appreciate your chesed ve'emes, meaning I see how dedicated you are. I see that you want to help me. I see that you want to support me. I appreciate it. I'll have endless hakaras hatov to you. But at the end of the day, it's not necessary for you to come. Alev hakaras hatov. You need to go back to where you come from. The Malbim also says that the last pasuk was saying, if you want to come with me because you're afraid of Avshalom, so fine. But David says that if you want to come with me, not because you're afraid of Avshalom, but if you're coming to help me, so then number one, you're putting me at a disadvantage a little bit because Tamol Boecha, you just came yesterday, and now today I'm going to run. You're shvach, right? You're not you don't have your strength with you. You just came. You just traveled. Now I'm going to move you again. Number two, I don't know where I'm going. I just know that I'm going. I know that I'm on the run. I don't know where I'm going exactly. And number three, the biggest chesed you could do for these people is to take them home so they won't be schlepping around. So Naomi asked, isn't it better for David if he has more people? So not necessarily, because strength in numbers is true if you are attacking, if you're defending, something like that. But remember here, David is running. Right? David's on the run. David's moving from place to place. He's fleeing. He's running. So when you're running, strength is not necessarily in the numbers. You want to be, you know, you want to have a nice small group, actually, that you can run effectively and get from place to place and hide them properly. You don't want people schlepping you down. And it seems that David is a little bit apprehensive about that, about people slowing him down. And maybe, you know, maybe that was holding him back. And we'll see in a few minutes that that's something that he expresses to one particular individual that he felt he was going to slow him down. Okay. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayan Itai es Hamelech. So Itai says to the king, Vayomar, Chai Hashem v'chei Adoni Hamelech. He says, I swear by God's name, I swear on your life, ki im bimkom asher yihyeh sham Adoni Hamelech, I'm sticking with you. I'm not leaving. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're going to be in danger. I don't care if you're going to be safe, if you're going to live, if you're going to die, whatever it is, I'm going to be with you. It's interesting. I was reading this pasuk thinking to myself, you know, we're about to read what Rus says to Naomi, right? In Megillas Rus, that I'm going to stay with you no matter what. Naomi's trying to get Rus to leave. And Rus doesn't want to leave. It's almost like a, you know, playing out here this many generations later. Obviously, we know David descends from Rus, but it's interesting how it's playing out in a very similar way. The Malbim also says here that, listen, I love you, right? This is Itai talking to David. I love you. I support you. You're going to be in danger. It's not appropriate for me to leave. I can't just leave you if you're going to be in Sakana. So, you know, I'm sticking with you no matter what. That's the right thing for me to do right now. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay with you no matter what. Okay, one fascinating point here, totally unrelated to the plot and the storyline, but just a fascinating point. If you look at the pasuk, so you'll see in pasuk chafal, there's a word im, aleph mem, which is not vocalized. There are no vowels under that word. This is what we call, and we don't find it. So, and I'm just looking in the art scroll now. I have an art scroll Shmuel Beis here, so I see it's in brackets. And if you look at it, it says "ksiv velo kri," that it's written in the Navi, but it's not read, and that's why it's written there with without nekudos. Now you look, you know, let's say just going back even one pasuk. So there we have a kri and a ksiv, where you have in the Navi, it's written anuacha with a vav, and then it's read aniacha with a yud. That's pasuk chaf. But in pasuk chaf aleph, it's a little different, and it's actually what we call a ksiv velo kri, where it's written in the pasuk, but it's not vocalized at all. And actually, when you read it, you don't. I think I read it, but you're not supposed to read it. It's ksiv velo kri. So what's the, you know, why do we have this? What's the understanding here? So this is fascinating. The Radak right here on the spot chimes in. And by the way, you have in the Torah, sometimes you have a kri and a ksiv, but you rarely have, I don't think in the Torah you ever have a kri velo ksiv. I don't think you ever have a, you know, in the Torah where you read something that's not written in the text, or you have something written in the text that you completely omit. I don't believe you have those in the Torah, but you definitely have a kri and a ksiv where it's written one way and you read it another way, that you certainly have in the Torah. So the Radak says the following, fascinating. The Radak says that after the first galus, after the first Chorban, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we went into galus, if you can imagine, right, it's not like today where you have everything is saved on a hard drive and everything is computerized. Everything was svarim. You know, they had manuscripts, right? They had manuscripts, and this is well before the printing press. Everything was handwritten. So right after the first galus, all the svarim were lost. Right, the Jews went into Galus, Sfarim got lost. Not only did the Sfarim get lost, the manuscripts were lost, but the Chachamim, the sages who knew all these things, who understood all of these things, they died out. And what happened was that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola was tasked with piecing everything back together. Tanakh was tasked with piecing Tanakh back together. So what they did was they found a whole bunch of manuscripts, and they had to look at the varying manuscripts and try to figure out what was the proper text of Tanakh. Sometimes, very often, they came to a consensus. They went by the majority. And that's why most of Tanakh, we have 100%, you know, the way we have it. However, sometimes they weren't 100% sure what the right word was in that spot. So therefore, what they did was, if they weren't sure, so sometimes they would write a word inside the text, but not vocalize it, right? That's a ksiv velo kri. Okay, so the hint was that we're going to write it, but you don't read it because we're not 100% sure that it's supposed to be here. Sometimes they didn't even write it in the text at all, but they wrote it in the margin next to it. And that's what we call a kri velo ksiv. It's not written there at all, but we read it. So you find that sometimes in Nach. Sometimes they wrote one word on the inside the text, and one word outside in the margin. That's what we call a kri uksiv, where one it's written one way in the text, and in the margin it's written another way. So these were all situations where the Anshei Knesset HaGedola were in doubt as to the exact word that was supposed to be there. Sometimes they were in doubt if there should be a word there at all. Sometimes they were in doubt if it's this word or that word. And that's why we have the kri and the ksiv and the ksiv velo kri and the kri velo ksiv the way we have it. Fascinating comment. Just again, totally unrelated to the plot, but a fascinating comment of the Radak to explain something that we find very often in the Torah and in Nach. Okay, let's continue. Now, Pasuk Chav Beis. Vayomer David el Itai. So David says to Itai, okay, you know, you're not leaving. Leich va'avor. So you're going to stay? So let's go. Right, go pass by. I didn't remember that we had these psukim last week, that all the camp was passing by David. He was checking everybody out to make sure that everybody was the way they were supposed to be. And Itai Agiti comes with all of his men, cholataf, and all of the children. Interesting, he came with their families, right? They were all coming to support David. So they all passed by to support David. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Now, at this point, as this is happening, the Chol Ha'aretz Bochim Kol Gadol. Everybody's crying. It says the Chol Ha'aretz, the whole land. But the Malbim understands that we're not talking about the whole land. We're talking about Yerushalayim, though. The whole Yerushalayim finds out what's happening. Avshalom is rebelling, is taking over. David is running. Everybody's crying. And not only that, the Chol Ha'am over him. A lot of people came to support David. The Hamelech over Benachal Kidron. And now they split, says the Malbim, they split into two camps. The king, he splits into one camp with his soldiers, and he goes to Nachal Kidron, to the valley of Kidron, and the rest of the camp, the rest of the people, who I guess are not going to travel literally with David, but they're still supportive of David, they go towards the desert, they go to a different area and form a different camp. Now, very interesting. Now, David, you know, also wants, you know, he wants some information. You got to have some spies. So here we're going to learn the story of how the spies of David begin to take place here. Pasuk Chav Dalet. V'hinei gam tzadok v'chol ha'leviyim ito nosim esaron b'riso elokim. So tzadok was tzadok was a kohen at this point. We'll see exactly. He's going to become the kohen gadol, but he, right now he's just a kohen. Tzadok and all the levim and all the kohanim are also traveling with David, supporting David, and they're carrying the aron. They're not going to leave the aron in Yerushalayim. They're carrying it with them. Vayatziku esaron ha'elokim. So vayatziku means this, basically they placed it, they put it off to the side. Some say that vayatziku, the Malbim says, tzuk is a high place. So the Malbim understands that they built a high platform for the aron. So either they built a high platform for it or they put it off to the side. But either way, vayatziku esaron ha'elokim. Vayal Evyasar Atom Kol Ha'am La'avor Min Ha'ir. And Evyasar is the Kohen Gadol. So he goes up and he waits with the Aron until the entire nation, whoever was coming with David, passes by out of Yerushalayim, traveling with David, and leaves Yerushalayim to go with David. Now, Pashup Shad again is that Evyasar, who's the Kohen Gadol, just goes off to the side with the Aron. And the Malbim says, in fact, that Evyasar was actually, he was like the honor guard. You know, they built this platform for the Aron, and they placed it up there, this high platform. And then Evyasar went up there, and he stood next to the Aron just to guard the Aron as like an honor guard. However, there's a very interesting Medrash that all the Mefarshim quote here. And the Medrash says that the reason why Vayal Evyasar is not just that Evyasar went up, but it's actually that Evyasar consulted the Urim V'Tumim. Evyasar consulted the Urim V'Tumim. And when he consulted the Urim V'Tumim, usually the Kohen Gadol consults the Urim V'Tumim responds. You know, it illuminates, it lights up. Here, no response. Nothing. Evyasar asks the Urim V'Tumim, and we'll see in a moment what he asks. Basically, you know, will David be successful? But he's asking the Urim V'Tumim, and the Urim V'Tumim is not responding, not completely not responsive. So what does that mean? That's not a good sign. And says David is thinking to himself, one second, if Yasser is the Kohen Gadol, Urim V'Tumim is not responding to him, that means that the Ruach HaKodesh that's necessary for the Kohen Gadol to interpret the Urim V'Tumim, because the way the Urim V'Tumim worked was that letters would illuminate. Letters would illuminate, but it would be a big jumble. It would be a big puzzle, like a code. And the Navi or the Kohen Gadol had to have Ruach HaKodesh to figure out what exactly was the message behind all of these letters. So David says he doesn't have the Ruach HaKodesh anymore. This is not good. So what happens? So they demote Evyasar from being the Kohen Gadol, and instead Tzadok is appointed as the Kohen Gadol in place of Evyasar. Now, the Radak points out that Tzadok was not actually appointed as the Kohen Gadol yet, or I should say he was not anointed as the Kohen Gadol yet. That's not going to happen until Shlomo becomes the king. And there's a pasuk later that says explicitly that Shlomo anoints Tzadok as the Kohen Gadol. However, here he was appointed. He was appointed, just not anointed. Okay, so that's the difference between what's going on here and what's going to go on later. Now,
who appointed him, Rabbi?
David.
Okay.
David, because David sees what's going on and he sees that if Yasser is not being Matzliach right now, he doesn't have the Ruach HaKodesh, so he appoints Tzadok to take over. Now, another interesting layer here that the Radak points out is that if Yasser was a descendant of Eli. Now we know that Eli was cursed. So Evyasar, David is thinking that Evyasar maybe is not being successful because he's a descendant of Eli and Eli was cursed. Tzadok is not a descendant of Eli. Tzadok is a descendant of Pinchas. And we know Pinchas was blessed. We're going to read a couple of parashios. Pinchas was blessed as Brisi Shalom. So because of that, David sees, okay, maybe the curse is playing out with Evyasar. Tzadok is blessed. Let's shelve Evyasar for right now and let's appoint Tzadok to be the Kohen Gadol. So that's what happens. Pasuk Chav Hei, Vayomer HaMelech leTzadok. And now the king turns, now David turns to Tzadok and he says to him, Hashav Esaron HaElokim HaIr. He says, I want you to return the Aron. You brought the Aron out of Yerushalayim. I want you to return the Aron back to Yerushalayim. Why? Im emtza chein be'enei Hashem, because if I find favor in the eyes of Hashem, v'eshivani v'hirani oso, Hashem will return me to Yerushalayim, and I'll see the Aron. V'es navehu, and I'll see the place of the Aron. What's navehu? So it's interesting. Targum Yonason translates navehu as the Beis HaMikdash, which is interesting because the Beis HaMikdash is not yet built. Not only that, but David won't even build the Beis HaMikdash. So some say that it's not referring to the Beis HaMikdash, although maybe David one day will see the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo will build. But no, it's referring to maybe the special tent or the house that David built for the Aron. And that's from, if you remember back in Perek Vav, the Pasuk says that David built a special tent, a special place for the Aron, and that's where they placed it. But David says, right now I'm being punished. If I'm being thrown out of Yerushalayim, if I have to run from Avshalom, obviously I'm being punished. I did some Avera. I'm being punished. So one day, right now Hashem is turning his face away from me. But if one day I'm going to find favor in the eyes of Hashem, I'll come back and I'll see the Aron. But I don't want the Aron following us. I don't want to take the Aron out of Yerushalayim. I want the Aron to go back to Yerushalayim and we'll see what happens. Now it's interesting that here the Malbim understands that this is the question that was posed to the Urim V'Tumim. This is the question. The question was, Im emtza chein be'enei Hashem. That was the question. Will I find favor in the eyes of Hashem? So that was the question. Again, Evyasar was not answered. David's not sure why was Evyasar not answered. Was it because of Evyasar? Or was it because Evyasar took the Aron out of Yerushalayim? So I'll fix both. Let's bring the Aron back to Yerushalayim and let's ask Tzadok. So if we fix both problems, then I'm sure we're going to get an answer from the Urim V'Tumim. And that's the question that we're going to ask. Pasuk Chavav, Vimko Yomar Lo Chafatz Divach. And if the answer is that Hashem says, I'm not interested in you anymore. You sinned, you did something wrong, you're a Baal Aveira, I'm not interested in you anymore. Hinani Yasali Kasher Tov Be'enov. Let Hashem do what he wants. I will accept Hashem's decree with love. I will accept it with love. Whatever Hashem answers. Either I will find favor in his eyes or I won't. Pasuk Chav Zayin, you see again the Emuna. Right? David has this Emuna. Remember, he's running for his life right now. He thinks he's on the run. Someone's rebelling against him. It's an incredible Emuna for David to say, whatever happens, happens. This is whatever Hashem wants. That's what Hashem wants, and I'm happy to go along with it. I accept Hashem's decree with love. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayomer HaMelech El Tzadok HaKohen Haroe Ata. Very interesting language. Haroe Ata. Do you see? Are you a seer? Shuva Ha'ir B'Shalom. Go back to the city in peace. Ba'achima'atz Bincha V'yahonosan Ben Evyasar Shnei V'neichem Itchem. And take your son and Evyasar's son back with you. Okay, take them back with you. Now what's this Haroe Ata? So most of the Mefarshim say that Targum Yonason says, are you a Navi, right? Or you are a Navi. So, you have Ruach HaKodesh, right? He saw that Tzadok had the Ruach HaKodesh. So you have Ruach HaKodesh, you're a shtickle Navi. So this is a good idea. You should go back to Yerushalayim, right? Rashi says, no, it just means, if you think this makes sense, Haroa Ata, do you see this? Do you think this makes sense to go back to Yerushalayim? Now the Mitzudas David points out that until now he was always addressing Evyasar because Evyasar was the Kohen Gadol. Now he turns to Tzadok because now Tzadok is the acting Kohen Gadol. The the Malbim says that when you go back, don't make it seem like it came from me, because then, you know, you might be in trouble with Avshalom. But just make it, you know, you saw fit to go back to Yerushalayim, and Avshalom won't suspect you. He'll be fine with you. The Malbim now also says that the words Shuva Ha'ir B'Shalom, those were the letters that illuminated on the Urim V'Tumim. Shuva Ha'ir B'Shalom, those were the letters. David saw these letters, and David interpreted it to mean that, number one, he will one day return home. Not right now. Now is not the time for him to go back to Yerushalayim. But one day he will return home to Yerushalayim in peace, number one. And number two, that he should send the Kohen back to Yerushalayim. And that's why he's sending Tzadok back to Yerushalayim, because of this message from the Urim V'Tumim, Shuva Ha'ir B'Shalom. That's the message that he's seeing. Pasuk Chav Ches. Ru'u Anochi Mismameya Be'arvos Hamidbar. And again, here we have a Kriya and a Ksib, and we'll talk about that in a second. But he says, listen, you know, I have to stay out here on the run. Ad bo davar me'imachem lahagid li. And what I want is, and here the Mitzudas David explained this, and Rashi also says, that your two sons, I want them to be spies. Right? Achima'atz, who's the son of Tzadok, and Yehonasan, who's the son of Evyasar, I want them to go back to Yerushalayim and to be spies. And then I want them to let me know what's going to go on, what's happening. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay put until I get word from you. What's happening? What's going on? Should I come back? Should I stay out? Where should I go? Should I run? You let me know. The Radak says also that the Ksiv in Pasuk Chav Ches is Be'avros, Be'aver, right? Be'avros, which means across Nachal Kidron. And the Kri is Be'arvos, like Arvos Moab, which means the plains of the desert. The Radak feels that the Kri is more correct in this case, Be'arvos. Okay, Pasuk Chav Tes, Vayoshov Tzadok Ve'evyasar Esaron Ha'elokim Yerushalayim Vayeshvu Shab. So they listen to David, and Tzadok and Evyasar both go back with their sons to Yerushalayim. They bring the Aron back with them, and they stay in Yerushalayim. V'David, fascinating pasuk here, pasuk lamed. V'David ole b'male hazesim. David goes up to the Mount of Olives. What's the Mount of Olives? Har Hazesim, right? Har Hazesim. What we know, right across from Har Abayis. Har Hazesim. That's where David goes up. Ole uvoche. He's going up and he's crying. V'rosh lo chafui. His head is covered. Chafui means it's covered. V'hu holech yachef. He's walking barefoot. V'chol ha'am asher ito chafu ish rosho ve'alu alo uvacho. And all the people that are with him have their heads covered and they're walking and crying. Everyone is crying. They're crying. Why are they crying? Because look what happened. David HaMelech. Look at what's going on here. David is running out of Yerushalayim. He has to flee Yerushalayim. Terrible, terrible. We'll go in order of the pasuk. He goes up to Male Hazesim, to Har Hazesim. Fascinating. Why did he go up to Har Hazesim? Says the Radak, he went up to Davin. Har Hazesim was a place where he could Davin. Why was Har Hazesim a place to Davin? So he says, either because from there you could see the special tent where the Aron was kept, from Har Hazesim, or because from Har Hazesim you could see the Makom HaMikdash. Fascinating. David is going up to Davin in a place where he can see the Makom HaMikdash. Right? We can see the Makom HaMikdash. Now, with Makom HaMikdash, there was no Beis HaMikdash yet, right? The Beis HaMikdash had not yet been built, number one. And number two, says the Radak, they didn't even know exactly where the Beis HaMikdash would be built. Later, God HaNavi is going to come and he's going to tell them to build a Mizbeach, Gorin Arnon, and that's going to be the precise place of the Beis HaMikdash. Right now, they don't even know exactly where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. However, they do know that it's going to be on Har HaMoriah. That they knew, right? There was already a Nevuah, there was already a message that the Beis HaMikdash would be built on Har HaMoriah. So that they knew. So they knew the general, David knew the general vicinity or the general mountain where Har HaBayis would be, number one. And number two, you see that there's a benefit to davening there, even without a Beis HaMikdash. And I think you can make, this is my own thought, but I think you can make a Kal V'Chomer, that if David felt that it was proper to daven across from the Makom HaMikdash, even before the Beis HaMikdash is built, Kal V'chomer, after it was destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash already was there. And now the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. You see the power of the Makom HaMikdash for Tefillah. Now we know this. Chazal tell us that the Kosel HaMa'aravi, that's the place the David HaShem Shechinah is still there. But here you see a proof from Navi. The David HaMelech himself, when he was running, he went up to Har HaZeisim to Davin because it was across from the Har HaBayis. So that's the place to Davin. Right? That's the place across from the Har HaBayis. That's the place to Davin. Fascinating. You find that, so David is going, he's in mourning. He's Chafui, Rosho Chafui. Interesting. Where else do we have that language? Chafui. So if you remember Megillas Esther, Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Beis, that after Haman was embarrassed by his daughter, you remember he was walking, walking Mordechai through the streets. He was all embarrassed. Pasuk says, "V'haman nidchaf el beiso avel v'chafui rosh, v'chafui rosh." He was covered; his head was covered in mourning. So here too, but that's what was going on. David and all of his men—they were barefoot; their heads were covered. They were in mourning. They're crying. But David goes up to Davin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be successful. Pasuk Lamed Aleph.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Oh, can I ask a question? Did David ever do anything to make Absalom think that he wanted to kill him?
No. No. And so, David didn't want to kill Absalom. There was no reason for David to kill Absalom.
So Absalom gets this in his head that David wants to kill him, so I have to kill him and I have to become.
So we'll talk a little bit more about this towards the end of the parak. We'll see the Malbim elaborates on this point towards the end of the parak. We'll get there.
Okay, Rabbi.
Okay, now Pasuk Lamed Aleph. V'David higid lemor achisofel bakoshrim imav shalom. Now David, according to most of the mafarshim, even though David higid means that David told someone else. However, most of the Mepharshim understand that David is being told. He's not the one telling, he's being told. That's why it says Lamor, that David is being told that Achitofel, who is David's advisor, is now Bakoshrim im Avshalom. He's in cahoots with Avshalom. He's in cahoots with Avshalom. And we know Achitofel was already with Avshalom. Vayomer David, and David says, he davens to Hashem, Sakelna es atzas Achisofel Hashem. Hashem, please confuse the advice of Achitofel. Until now, Achitofel was a wonderful advisor. Says David, please confuse him. Make sure that his advice is not appropriate, is not proper, is not good advice. Right? I don't want him to advise Avshalom properly. Number one. The Malbim has a little bit of a slightly different approach in the Pasuk. And he says that, no, David was not told this. David understood it on his own. When David looked around and he sees all of his supporters, all of his people here, and he doesn't see Achitofel, he knows Achitofel's not with him. He knows Achitofel must be with Avshalom. And he told his servants that he must be there. He must be with Avshalom. The Metzudas David also says that Sakelna Satzas Achitofel, the Metzudas David doesn't understand it the way that the Rashi does, that to confuse Achitofel, but rather he says, confuse Avshalom. Make Avshalom not listen to Achitofel. Right? Sakilna satzas Achitofel, make it that Avshalom won't listen to him. But either way, you know, David is davening that Achitofel's advice will fall on deaf ears or will not be good advice. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayhi David ba ad arosh, asher yishtachav esham le'elokim. Excuse me, David gets to the top of the mountain, where that was the place that he always used to daven and bow down to Hashem. And there's a fellow by the name of Hushai who approaches him. Hushai Ha'arki, that's the place where he was from. Karua Kutanto, his clothing is torn. Why is it torn? It's torn out of Avelus. The Adama Al Roshon, he has dirt on his head, which was also a symbol of Avelus. He comes to David, he approaches David. Vayomer lo David, and David says to him, Imavarta iti vehayisa alai lemasa. David sees him and he knows what's going on. He knows he wants to join his ranks. He wants to come with him. And David says to him, listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Hushai. You know, you can't come with me. You're going to be a burden. You're going to be a burden. Why? Says the Radak, he already had a very large group. He didn't want more people to come with him. Like we said before, he didn't want people. It's, you know, too many people. It's not going to bode well for, you know, being on the run. Number two, says the Mitzudas David, that this fellow, Hushai Ha'arki, was an old man. He was very old. He was frail. David says, you're going to be with me. It's going to be hard for you to schlep. It's going to be hard for you to run. You know, I don't think this is a good idea. Pasuk Lamed Daled, V'im Ha'ir Tashuv, V'yamarta Le'avshalom, Avdecha Ani, HaMelech. I'm sorry. Avdecha Ani HaMelech Eheyeh, Ever Avicha, V'ani Me'oz Ve'ata, V'ani Avdecha. So says David to Hushai, not just that, but go back to the city and tell Avshalom, until now, I've been your father's advisor. Hushai was one of David's advisors. He said, but now I'm your advisor, right? You, Avshalom, I'm going to be your advisor now. And David says, you could be another spy for me. You can advise him to not listen to the advice of Achitofel. David knew that Achitofel would not be giving him good advice. I want you to go in and to advise him the other way, to advise him the opposite. Now, here the Malbim elaborates on the point that Aaron made before. What's going on with David here, with David and Avshalom? You know, what's the whole background? Says the Malbim, we know why this whole rebellion is unfolding. We discussed it at the beginning of the Perek. It's for one reason and one reason only. Avshalom wants to be king, period. Avshalom does not hate David. Avshalom is David's son. He loves David. He doesn't hate David, right? David didn't really do anything wrong. We knew that Avshalom was a little bit upset because of the story with Amnon and Tamar. Okay, but he doesn't want to kill him. He certainly doesn't want to kill David. He wants to be king. Now, the problem is that he wants to be king at all costs. And now he has these two approaches in front of him. What do I do with my father? Do I keep him alive and basically force myself to become the next king? Or that's too risky and I need to kill him. Not because I want to kill David, because I need to be the next king. And maybe the only way for me to be the next king is to kill David. David knows that Avshalom is struggling with these two things. And David has a feeling that Achitofel is going to advise Avshalom to kill him. Why? Because Achitofel has it in for David. Achitofel doesn't like David. Because of what happened with Bathsheba, Achitofel is a relative of Bathsheba, he's upset with David. So David knows Achitofel is going to advise Avshalom to kill me. So therefore, I need to send Avshalom another advisor who's going to advise him the opposite, not to kill me, but to keep me around, to keep me in place, and that's Hushai. And that's what he tells Hushai, number one, you coming with me, you're going to be a burden to me. Number two, you're going to be of greater service to me if you go back to Yerushalayim, make nice with Avshalom, get into his inner circle, and advise him not to kill me. Advise him to go against Achitofel's advice. That would be more helpful to me than you coming and hanging out with me right now. And that's why he tells Hushai to go back and to advise Avshalom in that way. Hello? Yeah.
Wasn't he really correct? Because he really was the oldest, and he should have become the king next. But David right. was picked Solomon, Bathsheba's son.
Yes.
So he did have a real good argument.
Well, he had a good argument, but I mean, you know, again, he had a good argument because he was the oldest. But the problem is that, you know, it goes by the Nevuah. And the Nevuah, the prophecy was that it's going to be Shlomo, you know, so he already saw the writing on the wall that it wasn't going to be him, you know. And again, this we discussed this last week. The Nevuah wasn't public yet, so this wasn't all 100% known. But he saw the writing on the wall that it wasn't going to be him. And at the end of the day, he was correct; it wasn't going to be him. But you can't just take it by force, you know. He's going about it the wrong way. You know, if you're not destined to be the king, you're not destined to be the king. This is the king of God's people. It's not just any king where you could just, you know, take control and take the power for yourself. Okay, pasuk lamed hey. Now he tells Hushai, you're not alone. I have other friends there, right? I sent Tzadok and Avyasar back to Yerushalayim, and they're also on my team. They're also on my side. Whatever you hear, any information that you hear, tell them. Tell Tzadok, tell Avyasar, and they're going to get the information back to me. Their two sons are with them. Their two sons are going to act as spies. Anything you hear, send with Achimaatz and with Yehonasan. They're going to be the spies. They're going to be the runners. They're going to come back to me and give me the information and keep me in the loop. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Vayavo Hushai Reye David Ha'ir. V'yav Shalom Yavo Yerushalayim. And Hushai, who's the friend of David, who's a loyalist to David, goes back to Yerushalayim. He listens to David. And Avshalom is also coming to Yerushalayim at this point. Says Rashi, Avshalom decided to return. And Radak says, no, they actually returned at the same time. But either way, they both come to Yerushalayim. And this is going to set the stage for the next phase of this rebellion of Avshalom as we, Mirtz Hashem, come to a head. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight.